Our opening song is number 119, Angels from the Realms of Glory, Come and Worship Christ the Newborn King. Please stand.
Almighty Father in heaven, gracious Lord Jesus, powerful Holy Spirit, we do come before you to worship, for Lord, the wise are still seeking you this day. So may we be wise, Lord. May we come into your presence and hear the story again that is ages old, but is also fresh and new each time in the telling. Lord, may our hearts be open, may our ears be open to hear from you this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, church family. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. It's great to see all of you. You know, I'm so glad to be back home at church. The last couple of weeks I've been out preaching in a couple different places. We were out at Thanksgiving and stuff, but it's good to be back home. Amen? Well, I'm doing the tithe and offerings today, and you know what? I want to be cheerful about this, because this is a cheerful time of year. And I want to say that we are $3,738 behind budget. Amen? And you know what? I'll tell you. The Lord is going to do a good work. Amen? He's going to produce a miracle. I know that you guys are waiting for a miracle. Amen? And our church budget for this week is actually for... It's for the world budget. And, you know, folks, the Lord is coming soon. And I know we hear that every week. We hear that day in and day out. But I promise you, the Word of God tells me that His soon coming is very soon, very near. And we need to be ready. We need to make the path straight. Amen? And let's do that by giving our tithes and offerings freely today to the Lord God Almighty, because He is the Creator and our Master and our King, and we should give Him everything freely from the generosity of our hearts, Lord, or, you know, for people. And it truly is God who gives us that incentive, gives us that goodness in our hearts to be able to give back to Him. So with that, let's pray over this tithe money that's going to be given. Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity to give back to you. Lord, we know that we are behind on budget, but we know that you are a mighty God and that you are willing to do wonders on behalf of your people. Lord, I pray that as we give from our hearts, that you would put in our hearts, the willingness and the surrender of our lives to you, Lord, that we would be willing to give up that which we hold dearest. And sometimes it might be money. Sometimes it might be things, Lord. I pray that we would give these things up for your cause, for your will, for your soon coming, Lord. And if we can further your coming today, Lord, I just pray that we would find it in our hearts to do that for you, Lord. And not just for you, but for those people who are suffering out in the world today. Lord, just lift us up. Lift up the people of the world today. May your presence be felt, especially this time of year in this earth. Father, we thank you for coming into our presence today and for being with us. And we lift these things up in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Wow, it's hard to follow that, isn't it? Thank you very much. That was a beautiful, rousing piece of music to get us going this morning. And one of the lines, I think, in that hymn is, "Let us bring him silver and gold," isn't it? So that was very appropriate for our offering. Thank you very much for giving to this church in your time, in your tithes, in your offerings, in your gifts. We thank you for the support. This church wouldn't run without the support of its members. So thank you very much for giving. Thank you very much for being here this morning as well. I welcome you to our special Christmas service here today. We have a lot of things going on that are a little bit different, so just hang on to your pew and follow along, okay? My name is Pastor Andy Mosley. I am one of the pastors here on staff at Piedmont Park Seventh-day Adventist Church, and I welcome you to our service this morning. And also to this special season of the year where we remember especially that Jesus came to this earth. What amazing love Jesus came to this earth He came to die and to be resurrected again, and he's alive today. That's the news that we share. Our church service today is sandwiched between two special events. We had a funeral service yesterday for June Biggerstaff. The church was full for that, and so we celebrated her life here yesterday. We have our church service here today, and we also have another funeral service tomorrow. We have one of the daughters of Margaret Opp. We have the funeral service for her tomorrow at 11 o'clock here at Piedmont Park. So if you can come and be here with the family, it's the way we show our respects and celebrate people's lives, then join us tomorrow. Not too many announcements to share with you today. Just want to highlight the things that are in the bulletin already and to let you know that we will have our annual Christmas Eve service here. Christmas Eve is a week on Wednesday. It's coming fast. Christmas Eve is a week here on Wednesday. We're going to have a special service here on Christmas Eve starting at 6 o'clock. So welcome to worship. Follow along this morning as best you can. And I hope that you're blessed by being here. It's time for the children's story. So kids, time for you to head to the back. Grab those baskets and fill them up. And remind the adults that Jesus said it's better to give than to receive.
Well, good morning, all you partially wiggly people there in the back. How are you today? How's everybody? Good. Happy Sabbath. And there's that most rowdy one. He's taller than most of you kids. There he is. Well, today we're going to do something just a little bit different. We're going to have a story about a little girl. And I'm actually not going to tell the story today. But I was at Adventure Club this week and had a little time, and I was walking around visiting with the kids and all the teachers in there, and I saw what they were doing in Adventure Club, and I thought it was really neat. They were making cards. Now, that's not unusual because you guys make cards a lot for different things. But what I found out is those cards were for somebody special, and that's what I'd like to show you today. So if you'll kind of swivel around a little bit and look at the screen, we're going to see who the Adventure Club was making these cards for.
The local post office is the heart of the community.
No, not today.
And getting the mail from Box 162 is something that little Addie literally lives for.
Thank you for my cards.
You are more than welcome.
At 6 years old, Addie is starting to count the Christmas cards she can hang on the door sent especially to her.
Look at all your cards from all your friends.
But there is a reason so many people are sending Addie a Christmas card.
She kind of quit growing when she was 3.
And slowly, since then, the bubbly and energetic little girl, who now weighs just 23 pounds, continues to struggle.
She likes to laugh and have a good time and hear stories, but lately, she's had a lot of days where she will just cry all day long.
And even with many visits to neurologists at Primary Children's,
cerebral atrophy is just a symptom of whatever is wrong, but she is still undiagnosed.
The deteriorating condition of her brain resulted last month in a devastating prognosis.
They told us that she probably won't last too much longer, and well, they gave us roughly a year.
Now, with the prospect this will be Addie's last Christmas, her grandparents thought it would be nice for Addie to receive a lifetime of Christmas cards this year.
She doesn't get to play with kids, so we thought if everyone sent her a card, we could tell her they were all her friends, and it would just help make her Christmas a little bit better.
And with the help of her older sisters, Shaylee and Audrey, who hang up the cards, cards for Addie and her sisters are pouring in from family, friends, and as word spreads on social media, even strangers.
Hoping to get a lot so we can just cover all the walls for Addie.
And back to the post office, where if this smile on the other side of Box 162 won't warm your heart, Addie's Christmas wish for us all certainly will.
Merry Christmas.
Okay, that's who you guys made the cards for. Can you imagine a little girl who's only 6, who only has a year left to live? And when she sees the cards that you guys send her, she knows that she has people that think about her and that she's not forgotten. that reminds me of the Christmas story about Jesus who said, God with us, and he came to remind us that we're not forgotten either. And he sent us a book full of letters and poems, kind of like cards, so that we can remember always that he loves us. Thank you for making those cards. Everybody who made a card in Adventure Club, will you stand up? Can you stand up for us? There you, okay. Now, look at Vanessa. She's going to take your picture. Now, you know where that's going. It's going to the cutting edge. So, thank you so much for coming up today, and thank you for being kind to someone you don't even know.
Would you kneel with me as far as possible? Oh, loving Heavenly Father, we look to you as our guide and our light in this world. Lord, as we come to you in your house of worship, that we would humble ourselves before you as the King of the universe, as our Creator, as the one who made us and who knows what's best for us. Father, I pray that each one of us would empty our hearts of all the worldliness and the cares of this life. For you yourself said that we should cast all our care upon you, for you care for us, and that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Lord, I pray if there's any that are yoked down in bondage to sin today, Lord, that they would give that, that they would surrender their heart and their life to you today, Lord. I pray that you would forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings, Lord, and that you would cast them into the depths of the sea, never to be returned, never to be seen or remembered by you, Lord. I pray that you would cleanse us with your righteous with your righteous blood, Lord, and put on us your righteous robe of righteousness, Lord. Father, I pray that you would be with any of those people here today that are suffering, that are hurting, that are sick and lonely, Lord. I pray that you would comfort them and that you would send an extra portion of your spirit upon them today. Touch their heart that they might feel your presence near to them, Lord. We want to especially lift up to you the Op family and the Biggerstaff family as they have lost loved ones. Father, I pray that you would hear their plea for comfort, Lord, and that they would not look or rest upon man's shoulders, but they would rest upon the mighty arm of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you would send comfort to all your people all over the world. And Lord, I pray that we would each one hasten your second coming, Lord, that we would each one take the time to get to know you, to pray earnestly for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit today, Lord. Father, I pray that as we come upon this new year, that we would each one of us do our part in bringing in your soon coming, Lord. May we each firmly set that in our hearts and place that in our minds, Lord, that it be the forefront of everything that we do, everything that we think, and everything that we say, Lord. I pray that we would glorify you in all of our daily dealings and everything that we do with others and with our families, Lord, and especially by ourselves. Father, I pray that your angels would be with us today, that you would attend our way, and that you would keep us from all the principalities and powers, and that you would guide us with your righteous right arm. Father, I just pray that you would be with us today, that you would dwell in our presence, that you would tabernacle with us, Lord, as you promised you would. Father, come into our hearts. May your spirit be here just now. We lift these things up in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Our scripture reading today is Revelation chapter 3 and verse 22. Just one verse today. Our scripture reading is Revelation chapter 3 and verse 22. And it goes like this. Let him or her who has an ear to hear, let him or her hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Now, I must admit, I don't know what's coming next. I can read it in the bulletin and see what's coming next, and I must say that I'm looking forward to what's coming next. I hope you are too. But I don't know what's coming next, but I just need you to do three things this morning, okay? Just three things this morning. Number one, focus and concentrate on what's happening up here. Second thing is to do what this verse says. Open up your ears. Listen to what the Spirit is saying to you this morning. So he speaks in that still, small voice. And the third thing, will you do this for me as well? Use your imagination. I hope you enjoy the service.
He loved nighttime. Not that he did not like the day. He loved daytime too. But nighttime seemed to afford more of a chance for him to walk about. It was also a time when many people were open with their hearts to listen. In the quiet of the night, as the old saying goes. So tonight, he was walking. Walking on the cold sidewalks. Walking through the snow, walking through a city that seemed to be just as awake at nighttime as it was during the day. He could understand how this city got its nickname, the city that never sleeps. Walking along the stores and walking among the towering buildings that touched the sky, tonight he was walking, but he was also listening. Now, you and I, if we had walked through New York City, we would listen to the sounds of the city, the car horns, the sirens, the conversations of the people on the street. But not this walker, and not this night. Sure, he heard all those things that you and I would hear. But tonight, as he walked, he was listening to hearts. Because not only are most people more open with their hearts at nighttime, this night of all nights, causes hearts to open more than any other night of the year.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed, this night was Christmas Eve. Our walker was not bothered by the cold. He was not even bundled up as most were as they passed him on the street. In fact, some cast quick glances his way as he passed by, noticing his lack of winter coat, hat, and gloves. But shaking their heads, they continued on their way. After all, they had places to go this night. And if truth be told, they had seen stranger things in this city. As his shoes crunched through the snow, he listened to those around him. He heard their joy. He smiled at their laughter and nodded upon hearing their well-wishing. "Happy holidays," said some, but most exchanged a hearty Merry Christmas, paired with handshakes, hugs, and even some fist bumps. Yes, this was a great night to be in New York City. But he was not here this night just for the holiday cheer. He walked these streets with purpose. Although if you and I were looking on, guessing that purpose would be challenging. He did not walk with the same hurried gait as others. He would pause outside one store, but never seemed interested in window shopping. Instead, he seemed more intent on listening than seeing anything in particular. Then he would continue walking again. He heard the bell ringing before he saw its ringer. As he rounded the corner, he saw a red bucket hanging from an iron hook. He saw the ringer of the bell, a small figure bundled up with coat, mittens, scarf, and a hat with a puffball on top. A small figure bundled up against the cold. He stopped again, not to watch the child ringing the bell, or even to listen to the bell. He stopped because several other children stood around that red bucket hanging in the air. A lady standing in front of the children snapped her fingers to get their attention. She raised her hand, and he closed his eyes and listened as the song drifted through the air.
Thank you.
He continued on his journey, and the sound of the bell faded into the night. He admired the lights of the city. Now, New York was never at a loss for nighttime lights, but on this night, extra lights twinkled and sparkled and blinked, lighting up the streets and buildings and casting a colorful glow on the snow, reds, greens, blues, and yellows. His pace slowed as he approached a church. He found himself stopping outside its door. Lots of people were going inside, and he wished he could join them, but not tonight. He had another task this winter's evening. Before he could start walking again, his ears, which were always listening, perked up as he heard the choir inside begin to sing. He looked up at some stars through an opening in the clouds and smiled as he saw a particularly bright star. It was a smile of someone who was remembering a fond memory. A joy sparkled in his eyes as he held that memory for a moment. Then the clouds covered up the stars, and he turned down another street. If you and I had been watching this nighttime walker, we might have thought him lost. He walked down one street, then turned down another, and sometimes backtracked to where he had previously been. But to watch his demeanor and mannerisms, he certainly did not act like someone who was lost. In fact, it was almost like he was looking to find something. He stopped in front of a giant store window and admired the cutest dolls and toy figures inside. A toy train circled around its track. And then he noticed a music box that was opened, and with his ever-listening ears, he was able to hear the tune. A familiar tune chimed from the beautifully carved music box, so he stopped to listen, seemingly unaware of a shadowy figure that had begun following him through the streets. Snow began to gently fall, the snowflakes glowingly lit up from the neon toy store sign and from the Christmas lights hung from the street lamps. He listened to the music box tune as the figure who was following him stopped, slipping into the shadows, watching and waiting. Our walker appeared to be looking in the store window at all the toys, but in reality, he was only looking at the reflective surface of the glass, which revealed the city street behind him. With a nod of satisfaction, he began his journey again, apparently unaware of the figure that slipped out of the shadows across the street and began to follow him. After a while, our walker did something that he had not done at all this night. He turned down an alley between two buildings. Now, I'm not sure about the condition or safety of alleys where you live, but in New York City and at nighttime, most people try to avoid alleyways. It was just safer that way. But our listening walker was apparently not interested or concerned with safety. The following figure also turned down the alley and quickened its pace to catch up. "Don't move," said a gruff voice from the shadowy figure. "Hello," the walker said, turning around slowly. He did not look at the gun that was pointed directly at him. but instead focused on the young man who held the weapon. The young man's eyes darted this way and that way, and his hand that held the gun shook. "Give me your wallet and hurry up." "Well, I will give you everything in my wallet, but only on one condition." "What?" The robber blinked. He took a step closer and shook the gun angrily. "Condition? You don't get to give me conditions, old man. I've got the gun. Now quit screwing around and give me your money." "Well, I don't think this is a good night to rob someone." "Well, pal, this night is as good or as bad as any other night. Give me your money now." "As I said, I'll give you everything in my wallet. But first, you should come inside with me to this fine dining establishment." He nodded in the direction behind him to a restaurant. "We will dine together, on me, of course, and I will tell you a tale. If, when I am done, you don't like my story and you so choose, you can have everything in my wallet. If you like the story, well, maybe that will be worth more." "Have you lost your mind? Are you on something, old-timer? Why would I go and eat with you? Why should I trust you? You'll probably call the cops. Now just give me your money and I won't hurt you." "No." "No? Are you crazy? Do you think I'm bluffing?" Another step closer, and he pointed the gun toward the old man's face. The old man looked past the gun into the young man's eyes. "My offer still stands. I'll give you everything I have in my wallet after you eat with me and hear my story. Now, as far as calling the cops on you, look for yourself," he said with a nod of his head in the direction behind the perplexed young man. The would-be robber turned to slightly to the left to snap a look behind him. Outside the alley, across the street, he saw a police car. The driver leaned out of the window, speaking to a policeman who was sitting on a horse. The young man's eyes widened as he realized his victim could have yelled at any time to bring the cops running. The young man's resolve began to fade. "Look, man, I didn't. His voice trailed off as his arm lowered. "Think nothing of it, my boy. Now come inside with me out of the cold. There's no need for us to bother those policemen. They deserve a quiet night on Christmas Eve, don't you think?" "I don't. Now just listen to you. You're so cold you can't even complete a sentence." Inside we go. The young man found himself inside before he knew what was happening. He had tucked his gun into the inner part of his coat, but kept his hand near it. The place was crowded with people. Conversations danced through the air. Every now and then, laughter would erupt from a table. Everyone seemed so happy. They sat down at a table. "Well, tell me your story." "I will," the old man said, and then said nothing more. "When?" the young man asked, getting frustrated. "When you are ready to listen." "I've had enough of this." The young man started to stand up when the waitress arrived. "What can I get you guys tonight?" Caught in mid-stand, he turned to the older man and for the first time noticed that he was not dressed at all like someone should be this time of year. The young man's stomach rumbled at the smell of food all around him. "You buying?" The old man nodded. "All right then, I'm eating," he said, sitting back down. They each said their order, and the waitress left, deftly making her way through the crowd to another table and then another before disappearing into the kitchen. The young man was about to speak when a musician took the stage in the restaurant. The guitar player began to play and sing, and the young man could not explain why, but he swallowed what he was going to say and instead began to listen.
"What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap and sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet? while shepherds watch our keeping. Why lies he in such humble place, where ox and sheep are feeding? Come, have no fear, God's Son is here, His love all loves exceed. Salvation brings His loving heart unfolding. Raise, raise the song on high, His mother sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the Son of Mary. Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring Him by, the babe, the Son of Mary. What child is this? This is our God, this is our King, this is our Savior, we will forever sing. He is our God, He is our King, He is our Savior, we will forever sing. This is our God. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. The babe, the Son of Mary.
The song ended, and after a long moment, applause burst into the air, and then conversation began again throughout the room. Okay. So tell me this story of yours. You promised, if I don't like it, I get everything in that wallet of yours. Indeed, I did. And I will keep my promise. So let's see where to begin. You said this night was as good as any to rob someone. Why do you believe that? Look, man, I know it's Christmas Eve, but that don't make no difference to me. I'm hungry and I need to eat. And so you are here with me, having dinner, just like you wanted. What? Whatever, man. Did you always think this night was just like any other night? Well, no, of course not. When I was a kid, I loved Christmas Eve. But I'm not a kid anymore. All that Christmas stuff don't mean much when you're living on the street. Ain't no one bringing me presents anymore. And I don't have any money to buy. His voice trailed off. I always liked that song that was just sung, said the old man. A song about a baby born that changed everything. Babies have a way of doing that, don't they? Huh? How? What are you talking about? Babies, they have a way of changing one's life, don't they? And that baby that was born in a manger, he changed everything. That baby brought hope. The young man looked with faraway eyes for a long moment. A crack appeared in his hardened features of his unshaven face, and sadness washed over his eyes until he noticed the old man's gaze. Well, maybe that baby brought hope. Maybe he didn't. Who knows if this whole Jesus thing is even real? But all I know is babies today bring responsibility. You sound like someone who has a baby. Well, what's it to you? I got a kid. Big deal. When was the last time you saw him? The young man stopped his answer as the waitress set down their food. He tried to think. Had it really been that long? Then he shook his head angrily. They're better off without me. Are you? Am I what? He asked, starting to eat his meal. Are you better off without them? Before the young man could answer, another singer walked up on the stage, and music and song began to fill the room. As he listened, the song began to fill his heart. And then a thought struck him. Did I tell him that my baby was a boy?
In the middle of a forest, there's a clearing by a stream where a mother holds her newborn and the child begins to dream. And he dreams of hopes unspoken where the tears of man will cease and his mother holds him. For he is the Prince of Peace. Let the bells ring out these tidings. Let it echo across the land that a king is born in Bethlehem and his kingdom is at hand. Let the world rejoice together as it looks upon the stars, knowing every man's our brother and that every child is ours. Hark, the herald angels sing.
Baby does change everything, my boy, the old man said. This world needed help. This world needed changing. So God sent not an army of angels, not a philosopher, and not a politician, or an old man like me. He sent a baby to change the world. It sounds good, said the young man, but how can I know if it's all true? If miracles like that used to happen, why don't they happen anymore? Why don't people see miracles today? Well, perhaps because most are not looking for them, and certainly because most people are not listening for them. But even if it's real, even if Jesus was born, this world is still a mess. My son doesn't have any presents from me on Christmas. I'm nothing but a disappointment to him, to all of them. But just like that baby born in a manger needed a daddy, babies today need dads too. And that is a gift you can give. And as far as this world being a mess, on that you are correct, my boy. For hundreds of years, people waited for the Messiah to come. And when he did, many were not ready. Did you know the final verse in the Old Testament says that God will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers? Jesus came to save people from their sins. He came and healed the broken. He came to restore families. And maybe that still happens. One family at a time. Now, hand over that silly firearm of yours. There's no bullets in it anyway. How did you, almost without thinking, he reached his hand into his coat, slid the weapon out and wrapped it in a napkin, and he blinked in disbelief as he slid the gun across the table. Sir, I don't even know your name. Well, you can call me Gabe. And it appears as if you've enjoyed my story after all. And something else to remember. If Jesus came once to save, you can be sure he is coming back again. The young man was lost in thought. His mind twisted and wrestled. The war of hope and doubt began in him. But then another singer took the stage, and he again heard the song and its message.
No.
Now, if you will excuse me, Gabe said, rising from the table. Sure, the young man, lost in thought, replied automatically, assuming Gabe was going to the restroom. But he watched as Gabe made his way through the tables and the crowd, which was now standing room only in the restaurant. Gabe made it to the front door and turned back to look at the young man. He saw the old man nod and wink. And then a new group opened the door and entered. When he looked again, Gabe was gone. What? The young man wanted to scream. He left. How could he leave? Thoughts raced through his mind. He promised to give me everything in his wallet. Whoa, did that guy just do a dine and dash on me? Then a more dreadful thought entered his mind. He has my gun. Did he just rob me? Maybe he's calling the cops now. He saw the waitress making her way through the table, through the crowd to his table. She smiled at him, and he saw her carrying something in her hand. Oh, that's probably the check. I can't pay for it. He put his hands on the table and started to rise. A voice in his head screamed, "Run! Get out of there before you get caught. This wasn't your fault anyway. It's the old man's. But no one's going to believe you. Just run and save yourself." No, he said the word out loud. No more running. I need to be a man. I need to be a father to my boy and a husband to my wife. I'll take whatever comes. I just want to see my family again. I don't even know where they're living now. Oh, if I can just get out of this mess, I'll find them somehow. And the waitress arrived. "Look, ma'am," he began sheepishly, trying to explain. I don't have any money to pay for that check. And the old man, what are you talking about?" she interrupted. "Gabe already paid for your meals." "What? I never saw him pay you." "He paid before you guys came in. He also asked me to give this to you." She handed him a worn, frayed, brown wallet. "Merry Christmas," she said, starting to clear the plates. Now, you and I might have thought the young man politely waiting for her to leave before opening the wallet. But in reality, he looked at the worn wallet in his hand and was too stunned at first to move. Finally, he opened it and looked inside. He saw a folded note with his name on it and a business card, and then he started counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, $1,000. He opened the note and saw beautiful handwriting inside. "Dear Alex, thank you for indulging an old man and listening tonight. As I promised, here's everything in my wallet. I did not want you to think that I stole your gun, so let's say this money is payment. Now, go to the address on the card, and may you not just have a Merry Christmas, but may the joy and the hope that you felt tonight bring you a truly merry life. Sincerely, Gabe." Alex stood up as if in a dream and walked out of the restaurant. The cold winter air snapped him back to reality, and he looked at the address on the card. Then he looked at the street that he was on. He had a few blocks to go, but he felt energized. He started walking, and his pace quickened. He moved as fast as he could through the crowded street, but then stopped in front of the toy store where he first saw Gabe He walked inside and emerged a moment later with a large wrapped package in his arms. He again made his way to the address, but also stopped when he came upon a perfume store. He went inside and emerged this time with a smaller package in his hand. Alex made it to the address and looked up at the building before him. With the snow falling all around, he felt like he was standing in a child's snow globe. He hesitated for a moment, but then sighed. And if you and I had been there, if we had been listening carefully, we would have heard the faintest prayer escape his lips as he asked for help. And then he walked up to the door and knocked. The door opened, and he went inside. The sun shone brightly on the new fallen snow. Alex walked along the streets again, but this time not at night and not in the shadows, and this time not alone. One hand held his wife's hand, the other arm held his son. He smiled from ear to ear as he retraced his steps, telling of the previous night. He wanted to show his wife the restaurant where he had been the night before, and he hoped that somehow, maybe, they would bump into Gabe. But when they arrived at the place, he suddenly stopped in his tracks. "Are you sure this is the place?" his wife asked. It was a restaurant, or it had been at one time. He looked up at the street sign. Then he looked up and down the street. He was sure this was it. Then he began to hear music. A group of musicians had set up outside the street and was getting ready to play. He walked over to one of the guitar players and asked him about the restaurant. The man looked up from tuning his guitar, looked at Alex, and then at the restaurant. "Nah, man, that place been closed for years. Used to be a real happening place, though. People from the neighborhood would eat there and listen to music. But people stopped coming. People these days, and I don't know, maybe they're too busy to listen. It closed down years ago. But I used to play there in my younger years. So now, me and the gang, well, we just play and sing on the street corner for anyone who wants to hear." Alex walked back to his family. "But I was sure. I don't understand." "It's a big city," his wife said. "Maybe it was on a different street. The important thing is that you're home. That's what matters. Let's go back. We've got so much to catch up on, so much to do." "Well, thanks. We will. But let's listen first. Let's slow down and just listen." Almighty Father in heaven, Lord, thank you. Thank you for telling us the story, yet again, of a Savior that was born. Lord, help us to continue to listen to this story. And then as we leave this place, help us to go and tell it on the mountaintops and tell it on the flatlands in Nebraska and tell it everywhere we go, because there are people who need to hear and there are people who are ready to listen. Bless each and every one here today, Lord, as we leave. Thank you again for the good news. May we go and tell it now to others. And all those willing to go and tell it said, amen. In Jesus' name, God bless each and every one of you. Have a wonderful week and a happy Sabbath.